Libya has been undergoing different transition regimes since 2011, and all these transition regimes have decided at one point or the other to create the conditions of elections so that there will be peace and stability in the country to replace the defunct regime. And however, what we have seen over the last decade, those are just been good intentions which have been proclaimed, but which were not implemented. And moreover, we have seen that all those transitional leaders in Libya continued their rivalry, and they were not actually interested in elections to take place. They were not interested in stabilizing the country, as fueled tensions in the country, have fueled even rivalries among their supporters, the armed groups which support them respectively. And also we have seen that they are very happy with the current situation whereby they can share the fruits of government among themselves. Libya is not a poor country. Libya, in fact, is a very rich country. Libya, in spite of this crisis, still produces 1.3 billion barrels a day. There is enough resource for every Libyan to live in prosperity. However, what we have seen is the ordinary Libyan has become impoverished for the last 10 years. Of course, there is no transparency. Every Libyan citizens have been talking about the corruption in government. And when you look at the situation in the education sector, situation in the health sector, you look at how all the destructions of wars brought about by the different wars, infrastructures have not been rebuilt. You will see that actually this money go to the pockets of those. This is a real fact, which all the Libyans have been complaining about. I had a chance to travel extensively throughout Libya. I visited all the communities. I listened to all the stakeholders, citizens from all walks of life throughout Libya. They have been complaining about how their leaders have deprived them of the prosperity they are entitled to.
You said that Libya is a wealthy country, and you also, in your statement, warned that the renewed scramble for Libya, its position and immense resources among internal and external players, is rendering a solution elusive. Why we are seeing this scramble being renewed recently?
You know, at one point during the conflict, there was some degree of consensus among international players. For instance, the Berlin Conference, which took place, international players, regional players, so they agreed that they should help the Libyans strike a deal for a consensus for political settlement, which will bring together all the Libyan leaders, unite the country, and of course, bring back peace and stability. However, what I have seen over the past months is that on account of the Ukrainian crisis on Libya, both in terms of wealth, oil and gas, but also the military position, the geopolitical position of Libya in central Mediterranean, in southern Europe, and of course, this position, geographical position of Libya has renewed a kind of geopolitical interest of a number of regional and international powers for Libya. So the Ukrainian crisis has brought in a new dimension to the Libya crisis because of the consequences of the Ukraine crisis, economic consequences, geopolitical consequences. But at the same time, the war in Sudan to the south of Libya, and also this had an impact over the recent months on the both security situation in Libya and the economic beyond the southern border, the immediate southern border of Libya. You have the crisis in the Sahel, which has worsened over the last months also in Mali, Burkina Faso, and of course, the refugee situation in Chad. All these has impacted tremendously on the internal situation in Libya.
Mr. Battili, in a statement by the Security Council members in May, they expressed their gratitude to you and reaffirmed their commitment to an inclusive Libyan-led and Libyan-owned political process facilitated by the United Nations. What's your take on this?
Well, I welcome this statement. I hope that what we call Libyan-led and Libyan-owned process will be carried out by good-willing and good-faith Libyan actors. This is a problem we always had in Libya, because so long as those leaders who have been so unwilling to engage in a process of inclusive negotiation for a peaceful settlement can continue to monopolize the political process, I'm afraid we cannot have a solution in Libya.
So if we speak about the latest efforts of UNSMIL, what are the latest efforts to reverse the intentional defiance to engage in earnest and a tenacity to delay elections in Libya?
High State Council, the Presidential Council, the Government of National Unity, the Libyan National Army. Those are the structures today who can make peace or can make war in Libya, who are at the heart of the problem in Libya. This is why for us, this was seen as an inclusive mechanism which could bring a peaceful settlement if they are willing to do so. Unfortunately, some of them have put conditions or preconditions, and also they have been unfortunately supported by some outside players who have taken a parallel initiative, which of course tended to sort of neutralize our initiative. So long as those same players are supported in one way or the other by outside players, we cannot have a solution. This is why I said to the Council, it is important that all the international players, all the regional players, not only speak the same language, but also act accordingly to support a peaceful and inclusive process in Libya.
While the political stalemate in Libya persists, the economic situation is becoming severely strained. What are your latest observations in that respect?
Well, again, the deterioration of the economic situation is obvious for everybody. The Libyan pound has been going down against the dollar. The purchasing power of the citizens is becoming lower and lower, and there are a lot of complaints among the citizens about this. And in spite, as I said, the huge wealth of the country, the majority of the population do not benefit from it. It's only a few people who today are richer and richer in Libya, while the majority are poor. So in 2011, have hoped for economic prosperity, have hoped for security. Unfortunately today, on account of the state of all these indicators, Libya has gone backward, rather. More poverty, more insecurity, less democracy, less security for the bulk of the population. This is the reality in Libya today, unfortunately.
Mr. Battili, you also voiced concern over the presence of armed actors and heavy weaponry in Libya's capital, Tripoli. Can you tell us more about the security situation now in the capital and Libya in general?
We all know that Libya today is almost an open supermarket of arms, arms which are used for internal political competition among the armed groups, but also arms which are used in the armed deals and in the arms race and in arms trade with their neighbors and beyond. This is the situation. And of course, the security situation is more and more concerning for the citizens, because all these groups are competing for more power, for more access to the wealth of the country. And therefore, their rivalries heighten the tensions throughout Libya, and particularly in Western Libya.
Mr. Battili, how does the rise in abduction, disappearances, and arbitrary arrests pose another challenge for Libya?
As I said, the Libyan has hoped for democracy, for freedom, for liberties, rivalry among the leaders, these heightened tensions and competition among the armed groups, armed elements, who are ready to suppress any dissenting voices in the country. Of course, the Libyans are faced with a shrinking democratic space more and more. So this is also one of the parameters of the degradation of the situation in the country.
Another issue plaguing Libya is the dire situation of migrants and refugees. Can you tell us more about this?
Migration is one of the burning issues in Libya today. As we know, there are a lot of human trafficking. Unfortunately, because of the security situation in Libya, there is no hope that in the midterm or, you know, even long term, we can think of these situations, you know, improving, because Libya is increasingly becoming a sort of mafia state, which is, of course, dominated by a number of groups who are involved in a lot of traffic of gasoline, traffic of migrants, traffic of metals such as gold, and traffic of drugs. All these traffics are interlinked, and they are conducted by the same groups of individuals who are clearly identified in different areas of Libya and in the neighboring countries and across the Mediterranean, of course.
Mr. Battili, as you prepare to leave office, what would be your final message to the key Libyan stakeholders who, as you said before, have not budged from their preconditions to attend the talks you invited them to last year?
I called again on them, really, to have a sense of history, as I told them, to think about the future of their country. They have to take their moral responsibility before their country. And of course, I would also extend a call to their mentors, to those who support them in continuing to keep this stalemate, which is detrimental to the interests of the Libyan people, detrimental to the region, not only North Africa, but the Sahel. It is time that the Libyan people, who has been aspiring for peace and stability, have finally access to that peace and stability they have been longing for.